This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. Is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I've just had a very interesting conversation. I'm actually in stitches. Professor Keith Angel, who is the CEO at the South African Institute of Taxation. And obviously, this, the essence of our conversation was really about the tax regime, the extent to which, in his view, it provides, enabling environment, and if not, what are the issues? So I said, look, we definitely need to have a further conversation with him, for we didn't have enough time, and there's a lot of issues that we need to unpack. Anyway, moving on, as I've indicated in my intro, I am now joined by Silo Mosai, who's a chairperson of HDI Automotive Aftermarket Association Forum, and he'll be giving us his insights on some of the challenges facing small businesses, again, in the context of automotive. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome Silo. You're welcome to Beyond Mentorship, Abid.
Thank you so much for inviting us and hosting us today. Hopefully, your invite is going to give us a beauty of blessings, or a few blessings.
Talk of blessing. I'm sure listeners have questions that they need to put through to you. I want to encourage as many people as possible to, because I know a lot of people who are in the automotive industry have a question for Silo Mosai, who's a chairperson. Our SMS line is 3519. Telegram is 0618951019. And of course, your thoughts are most welcome via my X handle, which is @_@DrMbele. So, one of the, obviously we understand the importance of, much more broadly, automotive sector, because it's a sector that is in transition, and that's one issue that you obviously are bedeviling with. Perhaps maybe let's take a step back and say, take us through the genesis of HDI Automotive Aftermarket Association.
The HDI, which is historically disadvantaged individuals, Automotive Aftermarket Associations Forum. So this is basically a grouping of associations, and they formed themselves into a forum, or had to have one forum so that they can articulate their issues and tackle the challenges that the sector is having in terms of transformation and in terms of its contribution, positive contribution to the economy at large. Basically, all the associations, or rather, I'm assuming, but let me explain. The associations, each association which are the constituents of this forum, each one of them has what is called members, merchants, or the workshop owners. And these are workshop owners that are HDI, either women, black, colored, Indian. It's basically the representation. So these associations' membership is around that. The sector itself, like all the other sectors, because of lack of transformation and because of the impediments that are there and disallowing the actors, which is the workshop owners, to play a positive role in terms of employment creation, in terms of contributing to the fiscus through their taxes, in terms of basically revenue generation and contributing to the economy, reducing poverty, etc. Because of the impediments for these people to work, over the past 28 years since the proclamation of the Constitution, which said that there needed to be transformation, first, and secondly, that government had to use its buying power to be able to transition these HDIs into the mainstream in terms of the economy and the sector. For 28 years, there has been this difficulty, and there's been this grappling. And over the past 5 years, then these associations felt, okay, we've been going at this thing individually. We need a forum which can then really integrate at the central level what the issues are, because these issues are common. Mm-hmm. It's basically being able to be included in the value chain and in the sector and the industry at large. And secondly, being able to basically just be allowed to be an investor, be treated as an investor, because you have to pay your taxes, you have to, you know, contribute through hiring workshops, you've got to buy equipment, etc. You are an investor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting overview, which perhaps maybe frame our conversation, because you've given us a pretty interesting overview of the genesis of HDR Automotive Aftermarket Association, because these are obviously a number of associations that, you know, obviously put their thoughts together or put their ideas together with a view to identify what is common for all of these guys. But perhaps maybe bringing this conversation in context, I've picked up from a number of media reports that there is this RT46 tender, which has been awarded to a West Bank. And your view is that, perhaps maybe let me take a step back. What is your gripe? What are your concerns about that particular tender?
Yes.
And perhaps maybe just give us a specific example on how, from where you're sitting, it is not accessible, or the barriers, and it is not transforming. It's not pushing the transformation agenda. From where you're sitting, take us through that, please.
Maybe just to add on what your question is, RT tender. It's a cluster of tenders. There's one that is managed by West Bank. It's called RT46. There's one that is managed by Netfleet, and there is one that is managed by Fleet Africa. And all these tenders are supposed to manage a government fleet. RT46, which is managed by West Bank, it's the one that manages the entirety of government fleet, provincial and national government fleet. The one that is managed by Netfleet, it's with Transnet, and then the other one with that is with Fleet Africa, it's Eskom. So it's the fleet that belongs to Eskom, and all of these tenders are based on the constitutional imperative, which is basically clause, I think it's section 217 of the constitution, which is 1, 2, and 3, which is basically about transformation, which is about empowerment of the HDIs, which is about a preferential procurement to the HDIs. And the management as well as the design, I think we need to also emphasize that. The failure is at the design and the management. So the design is such that it's abrogated to the service provider, which is West Bank at this stage. And then, you know, there's little, if you want, monitoring that comes from government, particularly the Treasury Department and the National Department of Transport. And at the implementation side, because of that lacuna of the design, then the implementation is extremely defective in that instead of being applied or implemented in a preferred or a preferential sense, that 70 and more percent of work that comes out of this contract or vehicles that have to be attended to from this contract goes to the HDIs. Our members are mainly HDI, and I can tell you that if our members get any 5% of the contract, I'd be lying, you know, because there is no way in which that can be done. We even asked that we get an audited information regarding this, and we have a response. Now, talking about the RT46 of West Bank, we've got the response from the CEO written saying that, well, we'll do that that audit.
Could I just hold on a second? Because this is a very interesting point that you're putting forward. And obviously, these are material concerns. Anybody who obviously take this at face value will conclude that these are very material issues. You've talked about preferential procurement, which is not fair, or preferential procurement, which does not take into account from a design and management, and there's very little monitoring from the side of Treasury.
Yes.
One would argue, at what informed this claim that you're saying that there, first and foremost, there's either non or insufficient procurement, and there's very little monitoring. I tell you why I'm asking this question, Sir Loy, is that it is important that we address the issues factually, and let's take emotions aside. Because at some point, I will be more than happy to bring in West Bank CEO or anybody for that matter, so that we're able to debate issues on on a factual basis. You know, so perhaps maybe you could give us a sense of where are you getting your empirical data, or where are you getting your information from? And one thing that you also preempted my question was that you asked for audited records, which you have not received. Take us through that picture, because that will enable stations such as these and any other person who cares to listen about transformation and the importance of transformation in terms of how we got where we are and what is it that we can that can be done differently to unlock these challenges. Take us through that.
Certainly. I think that's the most important aspect, because when we first got into this, particularly when West Bank took over, remember this comes from Transit Solution the previous 5 years, and then from 2021 it was taken over by West Bank. We then we've been engaging with West Bank at a very physical level in terms of meetings and setting priorities and trying to navigate the process. We've had meetings, bi-weekly meetings, which went on to be monthly meetings, which went on to be 6 monthly meetings, because there was no discipline around that. But besides that, at the meetings, there's this specificity which you're asking. It's what we were looking at. We're saying, okay, we have a list, because what happened is that we then realized that over time, the owners of workshops were getting to a level where we could describe them as distressed, because their operations were basically just either going belly up or they were accumulating debt, etc., etc. Knowing that, the major opportunity for the operators that are HDI in this sector, you can go to the private private owners of the fleet. It's very difficult to pull through. So the reason why the preference is with, or rather the RT46 or the ATRI contracts specifically say prefer HDIs for 70%. It's basically to serve as a buffer, because then that's the only real opportunity for income for these HDIs. Now, we then sat with them, and then we provided lists of what we said, okay, these are from different associations, people that we say are distressed. Let's look at how we can really overcome or help them to be stabilized or whatever it is. And we managed that over time. I can tell you that every meeting when we went back, the list at some stage, I think for 5 or 6 months, the list still reflected zero in terms of allocations to the members.
So this will be allocation from West Bank towards members?
Yes, it would be zero. Now, this is very objective. It's the list we submitted. They have to give us reports.
Okay, to what extent have you supported this HDI? And these are the names of companies which have all the rings and bells, which have all the requirements from your end.
Yes.
They are accredited, they need all these things. Give us evidence as to how much or what sort of percentage of business has you have directed towards these entities.
Yes.
So you're saying for 6 months, there was zero.
For a period of 6 months, you know, at least not even percentage. Mm. Just tell us that you've given that one person this job and that one and that one, maybe for such and such a value. Because if you talk distress, you talk about what amount, you're talking about real value in terms of rands and cents. For 6 months, it was zero. And we have records in meetings where we sat and said, but there is no change. And
but
after...
On that note, what sort of explanation was given in those meetings? Because clearly you've had series of meetings with West Bank.
Yes.
What sort of explanation has been provided to you which indicates why the needle is not moving?
The first explanation would be that, and it still continues, that the list of suppliers, which is the supply side, it's about 8,500 for the RT46. So we know what the component of supply is. It's 8,500. We said, okay, if that is the case, let's look at what is the demand. Give us the amount of the fleet that is under your management. Where possible, give us even the budget. But then, to this day, and I think that's where really the camel back was broken. When you ask that question, the thing just fell flat. People said, no, we can't. We can't give you that because, they came up with excuses because there is this thing called confidentiality and so forth and so on. We said, but I mean, every year, the finance minister stands up in parliament and tells us how much he's budgeting for the country. That's not confidential. So if there's money that's allocated, it's not confidential. Tell us this is the money so that we know what are the things that we should be doing to be able to align or even balance supply and demand. So we came with solutions. We came there with solutions and we still do. I think our association is mainly to be able to provide solutions and to ensure that these opportunities are provided both in the public sector, in the RT46, as well as in the private sector.
I think there's 3 points that you put, put to us.
Yeah.
It's about the 8,500 suppliers.
Yes.
One, it's about some of the request that you put forward to West Bank in relation to disclosure,
yes,
of which you were told they are not able to disclose those records because they are confidentiality clauses that are part of the contractual arrangement. But they're also saying to us you've made solutions, you propose solutions of which have not bear any fruits today. When you come back after break, I want us to go through those kinds of issues because they're obviously quite serious in nature, and it is important that we get our facts correct.
Yes.
And I'm sure West Bank will have the right of reply.
Definitely.
And we will invite them so that we're able to validate your claim and vis-a-vis what they will be putting. Let's take a break. We'll break in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm joined by Sula Masai, who's the chairperson of HDI Automotive Aftermath Association, which has been grappling with transformation issues. Before we took that break, Sula was giving us his perspective in terms of what they perceive as lack of transformation in a context of RT46 tender, which obviously has been administered by a number of companies, Netflix and Fleet Africa, as well as West Bank. And if my memory serves me correct, there's Group C, which West Bank is the administrator. Mm-hmm. And your gripe, in a nutshell, is around West Bank. To be more specific, you are saying to us there's not transformation in terms of percentage split. The objective of this tender would have meant that 70% of the work has been pushed towards historically deserving HDI Automobile Institution. One thing that I was expecting to hear, perhaps maybe hasn't come through, and typically when there are objections towards procurement, will say, look, this workshop does not meet the standard. Mm. Your machinery are not accredited. Mm. And obviously, there could be some of the issues. To what extent infrastructure was cited as not fit and proper, to the extent that it will be very risky for WesBank, as an example, to be pushing work in an environment where the workmanship is substandard, or it's not where it's supposed to be. And because ultimately the end user, which is government, will say, but, you know, we pay you to administer this thing, and this is not a quality that we're accepting. So in terms of the infrastructure, where are your members? Are your members having requisite infrastructure, mm-hmm. and which ticks all the boxes? And how is this issue came from your meetings with the WesBank, as an example?
Let's start off by saying that that's not an issue for starters. Because for you to be on the panel of WesBank, you have to meet a particular standard. You are not admitted until you meet that standard. That's why my comment earlier during my introduction was that these guys are investors. So you invest to meet a particular standard. And not only in terms of infrastructure, but in terms of know-how and in terms of capability. And we are very, as an association, our own metrics in terms of measurement, we look at output, which is basically the quality. You know, I come, my background. So we look at the quality of work that all our workers do. We meet quality standards.
Yeah. So therefore, there can't be an excuse.
No, there's no excuse.
You basically say,
there's no excuse.
That's not an issue because we subscribe. Yeah, we are as competent as the next person.
You wouldn't be in the list first and in the what is this in the database first and foremost if you are not meeting those standards. So the data, you know, the uploading into the database basically screens. Uh-huh. And give you the cream of the crop, as it were. And over and above that, as an association, we also emphasize quality in terms of output, the delivery in terms of acceptable speed through which you take back your cars, and competitive pricing. Not cheap, competitive pricing. So those are the three key that we are driving. It's a non-issue.
Okay. Mm. One of the issues that you raised was the monitoring of this work by government, because there has to be that element.
Yes.
Typically, when you have mega project like this, there has to be a time frame in which there's going to be an interim report, which looks at all the indicators, preferential treatment, procurement, look at how many how many companies qualify for this or that, and sort of, you know, so that you're able to use that data to motivate from an association point of view, why process needs to be expedited. Has there been any report done by government as the overall owner, except that it obviously had, you know, given the tender to WesBank and other companies to administer? Your take on any data?
I'll try to summarize this quickly because we don't have time. The last time I had the same case, actually the same contract, my company personally took the previous implementer, which is Transit Solution, to court. And then it came to a point where we had to determine how much work was given for, the Gauteng-based HDIs. And that contractor said to us, well, they had handed over to my lawyers. They handed over the records to government. We went to government. The director, I won't mention the name now, but the director, I'll mention, some other time, but for legal reasons, I wouldn't. Director came back to us and said, those guys are keeping the information in terms of the breakdown, in terms of how much they give. They give government global figures. They don't give them the breakdown. Now, when you have to knuckle down to specifics, they were found wanting, because government doesn't get that granularity of information. So that's where, in terms of implementation and monitoring, we think that there is that lacuna. Because government get these global figures. You know, detail is hidden in those global figures. So you go to them, they'll say, no, we'll sort it out with them. And then they see it together and they give each other reports. They talk about us without us. And there's a whole lot of things, but they don't get that information, no. at that granular level.
Okay, no,
yeah.
Taking this conversation slightly further in terms of the kind of positive posture, one which is associated with the show, but also trying to provide a remedial or mediation space.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some your gripe, so to speak, obviously leveled against big players.
Yeah.
And you're saying to us, these big players are not playing fair. Mm-hmm. They're not equitable, mm-hmm. and you obviously want to challenge these kind of mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. We will definitely look at how we can bring in the likes of West Bank as Netflix and Fleet Africa to say, how far have you gone?
Yes.
In transforming automotive sector.
Yeah.
And let's look at data, because sometimes we have to look at data.
Yes.
Because you arrive at a particular determination based on facts.
Yeah.
My opinion is my opinion.
Yeah.
You still sitting there, you can tell us the whole world, but if you're not going to base your argument on factually data. On data, and then there's no leg to stand on.
No, definitely. Definitely. So, you know my background.
So these are kind of issues that perhaps maybe we will definitely and get back.
Yeah.
I see Craig wants us to take a break. Let's quickly do that and we'll come back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back to Beyond Mentorship. And it's amazing how time flies. We're having a very interesting conversation. I'm joined by Silo Masai, who is the chairperson of HDI Automotive Aftermarket Association Forum. This is a forum comprised of multiple black-owned association, which obviously it's more like a lobby group.
Yes.
They're trying to present a business case to the beneficiaries of the RT46 tender, of which it's been administered by West Bank. Over and above West Bank, the other players like Netflix as well as Fleet Africa, who obviously have administering this issue. Silo, and through his association, they are obviously wanting to, you know, to have the playing field leveled. You are saying it is not, and you are saying and there's more work that needs to be done, pure, because from where you're sitting, your work is worthy, or your workshops are worthy. Your workshop are accredited. Your workshop would not be in a database of any of these administrators if the workmanship was not beyond reproach.
Yeah.
So all these issues that I'm saying to you can be validated if we were to send someone else to say sample two or three of this HDI association and come back. They'll come back and say, well, everything's above board.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll say this without really fear of contradicting myself. When you get onboarded, you meet 100% the standards. Obviously, people go belly up because they are bankrupted by the system, by how this thing is being administered, or by the design thereof. Or alternatively, they still stick around, but they are distressed. Like I said, they are distressed because now some of them get their workshop closed, they get etc. They've got to go start somewhere, but they've lost tools. Some of them are indebted. So some of the effects of this very same behavior and this very same management and the defect of design definitely then lands workshops in a state that really it's undesirable. So I'm saying to you, to be fair, to measure the workshops, we have to agree that for them to be onboarded, they meet a particular standard. They are not onboarded until then. Subsequent to that, some of them lose their equipments because of being relocated and so forth, or closed down and whatever. We can't then measure them post that because they've been punished at the same time. Then it's unfair. And secondly, the whole thing of data, it's very important. And that's why we spoke about independently audited data. Because for us, it's very, you know, to talk and, Dr. Mbele, because your background says it all. We for us to move anything, we have, it has to be based on objective information so that all of us are fair and we don't just want to get our way without any valid reasons. So that's basically objective, independent, audited data is very important. It was accepted by the CEO in writing. I'll show you that letter. And in 2022, to this day, that audit has not been done. And we heard in the meeting by, you know, one of his team members who said, no, we don't have money. And we don't know why did he accept in the first instance when he knew that he didn't have money. So, and it was not written to us, back to us in writing again to say, no, we don't have money. So that we can then escalate it together and get money somewhere. So audited statements are important.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. If you've just joined us, I'm joined by Solo Musai, who is the chairperson of a lobby group called, HDI Automotive Aftermarket Association Forum, and he's presenting to us issues that he thinks are obviously of material nature facing his forum. If you've got any question for Solo, please weigh in. SMS line is 34519. The telegram is 0618951019. And if you've got anything to share via X handle, be my guest. My ex-angel is _@DrMbele. So I'm sure he'll be more than happy to respond to any question that you might have for him if you are playing that particular space and if you are indeed observing what he observed. And if you've got any contribution that you want to make and say, you could be, you're not correct or you are correct, whatever the case is in your mind, please share with us, for we want to co-create solutions. We're not here to bash anybody. We're not here to praise anybody. We just need factual information. Say, this: if indeed it's a quagmire, how do we take it forward?
Definitely.
Unfortunately, so we're going to have to wrap up. Your parting shot, I've indicated to you that obviously there's more issues to be unpacked. You have presented your case, and it is important for other players, for us to be fair, to be given a right of reply. We will invite them, and we can have a conversation so that we are able to find each other. Your take on it? Would you be keen to bring? Would you be keen to join that kind of a conversation?
We actually have asked that one of your group should assist us with this, so that we sit again with someone like you who's independent, who's basically not who's not going to have interests in this thing, who'll have an independent eye to facilitate, and let's all bring information, facts, put them on the table with a view, of course, not of fighting, but with a view of trying to find a way forward and resolving this matter for the interest of this country, for the interest of employing people, for the interest of this economy to grow, for the interest of reducing poverty, for the interest of basically getting all the sector and the industry transformed and reflecting the demographics of this country, basically.
Unfortunately, we're going to leave it here, Solo. Thank you very much. It has been an absolute pleasure having you. And you have given us food for thought, and we'll take your challenge. We will bring other key stakeholders in this particular space so that everybody has their two cents worth on a table. Let's see if you can't find an amicable solution moving forward, because as you've correctly put it out, it's all about redress. It's all about creating job opportunities. And it's all about lifting those players who, in your words, are in distress. Some of them, their business have gone belly up because there's no work that is coming to them. We just need to find what are the what are those bottlenecks, and how best can we move those bottlenecks, and we're happy to engage them and see how we can take it forward.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you for the platform. Thanks so much, Doctor.
You're welcome. There was Deborah Solo Musai, who is the chairperson of a lobby group called HDI Automotive Market Aftermarket Association Forum, giving us his own observations based on what he thinks are the challenges. We will certainly invite other players so that we can hear their views with a view to get an amicable solution moving forward. Unfortunately, we have leave it. It has been absolutely beautiful. Craig on the controller, thank you very much. Sene, well done for coordinating our initial conversation. And let's take it from here. Shalom.